Let's get started. Welcome to our webinar, Big Data in the Enterprise, a perspective from featured Gartner analyst Donald Feinberg. High volume, high velocity, high variety. These are just a few of the information challenges that businesses face today and going forward. Big data is a hot topic for both IT and business leaders who recognize it as an innovative and cost-effective way of gaining deeper insight into the business and driving better decision-making. How do you keep pace with the demands and exponential growth being placed on the business and its data? Where is the market heading, and how is it reacting to this phenomenon? How can customers leverage technologies for better business outcomes? Hi, I'm your host, Scott Smith, and we'll help you answer those questions and more with Gartner Vice President and Distinguished Analyst Donald Feinberg and Mark Simmons, IT Architect and Worldwide Marketing Manager at IBM. They'll offer insights on how customers have used big data solutions to drive innovation and stay ahead of the pack. And we especially want to hear from you, our audience, so please enter a question for Donald or Mark at any time. And now let's welcome Mark Simmons. Mark is IT Architect and Worldwide Marketing Manager at IBM.
So here's our agenda for today. I'm going to start by just reflecting on why big data has become such a fashionable phrase and why it's so top of mind for many executives. And a quick look at why this has happened. Donald Feinberg, our featured analyst from Gartner, will give his perspective on big data and the enterprise. Following Donald, I'll highlight some of the ways in which IBM and the Systems E information management portfolio are helping customers address their challenges by helping make big data a reality for them. Then we'll wrap up and have a question and answer session. IBM has worked with many clients to build a smarter planet. How do we get smarter? We gather as much information and experience as possible, pulling together as many perspectives on the entities in our world to gain deeper insight and understanding. Organizations are experiencing unprecedented changes, economical, financial, strategy, all in a highly volatile marketplace where business models have to adapt and change in order for them to survive. We as consumers are far more savvy about the world around us. We're well connected through our mobile devices. We express our experiences and how we feel on social media. We research things on the internet to make sure we make the best choices. So too do businesses. They leverage all this data, including their traditional transactional data, and technologies like cloud for rapid and flexible deployment of services, and then bring all of it together to get a better understanding of opportunities, risks, and costs of doing business. So they consistently augment their knowledge about the world around them. And the term the industry has coined to describe how all this data is coming together is big data. The approach helps give insight into how we feel, helps influence and act on our next move. Today, it's not good enough just to have a great product. Organizations need to build and leverage relationships with each of us in order to stay ahead of the competition. Volume, variety, velocity are all words that we associated with this paradigm of big data. Volumes are rapidly increasing. Infrastructures have to be very flexible to be able to accommodate and integrate new feeds and to be able to cope with unexpected workloads. You know, customers are dealing with zettabytes of data. Data warehouses contain 22 billion rows are not uncommon. 12 terabytes of tweets are created daily. Velocity, I mean, there are 5 million trades occurring every second. Machine data, although small inside, is often sent in near real time, so the velocity of delivering, storing, and processing it could mean the difference between life and death. Beyond the very structured data we're so used to, there is a huge variety of different data sources that a business may need to process, like watching, listening, and analyzing hundreds of video feeds a day, sifting through emails, looking and listening for patterns in millions of devices and sensors. All this differently structured data can contain valuable nuggets of information leading to greater business success. When we start to include social media feeds, sensor data, emails, audio, video, geospatial, images, etc., its true meaning can be quite ambiguous. So you have to approximate answers or combine it with other sources of information to get closer to the truth. And that's what we mean by veracity. And the statement at the bottom of the chart is so true. Running out of information is not the issue. Drowning in it and trying to make sense of it is. So let me put into pictures how the world we've grown so used to is radically and rapidly changing. Today, your world looks something like this. You have petabytes of data stored in your databases and transactions like IMS, DB2 for ZOS and Kix and many other databases. Data warehouses store masses of information, helping you analyze and predict trends. So everything was fine. You kind of know and trust this data. You understood the provenance behind it. And for these reasons, much of today's analytics are based on this data. And many customers have moved their analytics solutions closer to this rich transactional source of information. SystemD kind of became the circle of trust, for want of a better phrase. But surrounding all this structured data that we know and trust is a growing amount of other data, the noise at the periphery that organizations had paid very little attention to until now. You know, all that differently structured data was someone else's problem, right? Not ours. Businesses started realizing that there were huge opportunities to further lower risk and cost and create more upsell and cross-sell opportunities by looking at information on social media, studying data from telemetry devices, detecting customer sentiment in emails, audio, and video. But the challenge has been, how do you integrate all this noise? Slowly over time, the circle of trust shown here will widen to include other forms of differently structured data. If you think about it, you know, email is structured. It has a from, a to, a date, a timestamp, a subject line, attachment, and main body. It's just structured differently from the non-relational data. Leveraging this additional information helps enhance and augment our knowledge about entities relevant to our business. We get smarter. So over time, you should expect this data to become more mainstream in your businesses. And you'll start to see that that circle of trust will widen to include more and more of the dark and somewhat mysterious data. So why is SystemD potentially so important to your big data initiative? Some great facts here. 2/3 of business transactions for U.S. retail banks are generated on the platform. It's estimated that it stores 80% of the world's corporate data. It's used by the top 66 banks in the world, top 10 global life health insurance providers, and 24 out of 25 of U.S. retailers. Downtime costs money, and we're focused on driving it as close to zero as possible, with customers enjoying non-disruptive upgrades and maintenance. And we have an ecosystem of ISVs providing value-added services and applications. So it really is a resilient platform that offers very high qualities of service, making it an ideal hub for your enterprise big data initiative.
Mark, thank you. And now let's welcome Gartner analyst Donald Feinberg, whose research especially focuses on database management systems, data warehousing infrastructure, and big data. Donald, welcome, and I'll turn it straight over to you.
Thank you very much for inviting me here today to talk about the future of information and big data. I like to start talking about a concept that Gartner developed around 2 years ago called the Nexus of Forces. The reason this is important is that everybody today understands what we mean by social, mobile, cloud, and information. And as they are by themselves, we understand them. We know what they can do for us today. Where we see the real value at Gartner is at the point where these forces intersect with each other. It doesn't have to be all four intersecting at the same time, but it's the intersection of information with mobile, information with social, mobile with clouds, information with cloud, that we really will have a major inflection point, in fact, a disruption in the world of information because of this intersection of these forces. And yes, we believe that this is probably the biggest information inflection point in 35 or more years. The challenges and, in fact, opportunities that this brings to us is disruptive in the industry. At the same time, if we manage the information correctly, we can gain huge benefits to everybody in the industry. Now, what we really see is three areas of interest, if you will, among IT and the business leaders of the corporations and organizations. And that falls into the categories of excitement, confrontation, and fear. And I want to address each of these separately, okay, looking at them from a standpoint of information and big data and the nexus of the four forces. So we'll start with excitement, where we talk about the new types of analytics that can be done on all the different types of data that we do have today or will have in the future. And you'll notice from here, looking just at the bottom under information, that we are now looking at using all the data on the continuum from structured to unstructured. And as you know, it's not one type of data. Data starts out on one end of the continuum, goes to the other, and in the middle, we have many different types of data that have some structure. They're not truly unstructured text and emails and that type of data. But for the first time, because we're involving all that, we're no longer just looking at descriptive reporting or even diagnostic reporting and business intelligence that tells us what happened and why, but we're now able to start to do predictive analytics where we can look at what is likely to happen, as well as prescriptive analytics, which says, here's what's likely to happen, now what do we do about it, based on all the information that's available to us. This has caused a great deal of excitement in the industry, which is one of the reasons why the term big data has become so pervasive throughout the whole IT industry. At the same time, this has become a confrontation between the traditional types of management and infrastructure for information and the, quote, new types of infrastructure to support this information. Now, this confrontation does not prescribe automatically what type of infrastructure we need and technical landscape we need to support different types of information. In this particular case, many people think that you need a different type of server infrastructure to support the new big data. It's not true. You can use traditional types of infrastructure for that also. And the issue of big data is not one, or big data and information, is not one that says you must use a certain infrastructure to support it. Many types of infrastructure that we've had installed and using for many, many years can be used to support the new types of information that are created from the nexus of social, cloud, and mobile with information, and in fact can be used very well. So that has caused a confrontation between the traditionalists and the new types of information and the new types of infrastructure that are being developed to support that. There is no one correct infrastructure. And in fact, you can use what you have and still gain benefit from big data. The issue of fear comes from not really understanding what you can do with the new information and the new information types that have become available and are becoming available. Now, this is called a strategic planning assumption, where Gartner says that by some year or through some year, something is going to happen. And this SPA was developed several years ago, where we actually believe then, and now more so believe, that organizations that are able to really use the new information types, the new information sources that have high value when added into the current information types, so the nexus of forces to this new information, those organizations that are able to use this in an information infrastructure and make it available for decision making will outperform their industry peers by more than 20%. What's interesting is that this came up a couple of years ago, and we are already beginning to see this from the early adopters of the new diverse information types doing things like predictive analysis, pattern-based analysis and pattern-based strategies, and other types of analysis, including sentiment analysis, using social data and new forms and new sources of data that are being created all the time. And that's what's causing the fear, because organizations that believe they're not using big data today in a cohesive information management infrastructure are fearful that they're going to be outperformed by their competitors, which we believe is not only true, but is actually happening today. The key to the whole thing is that information is your major asset within the organization and needs to be treated as an asset. And it doesn't matter where that information comes from. That information can come from your structured financial data. It can come from new sources of data like social and mobile data. It can come from devices that are supplying information with high velocity, similar to like smart meters in an electrical energy company. And any other type of information that is classified as big data, which I will define in a minute, okay? The asset of information must be treated correctly from an infrastructure standpoint. When we discuss information management, we have the traditionalists who look at information the way it's always been done, top-down design, data warehousing and enterprise content management, for making better decisions, but still in the concept of decisions throughout the organization. Okay, and always talking about consolidation, integration, and those types of concepts within my information management. That is in drastic contrast to big data style thinkers when it comes to information infrastructure, where they want to look at an opportunity and use it right away. Some new information comes in, let's figure out how to use it right now. That's where immediate use comes in, okay? And they usually are talking about things like Apache Hadoop and MapReduce and text analytics and a lot of the new types of tools that have been developed to manage and analyze large amounts of information. But the results are that they're looking for doing business better. They're looking not just for decisions, but for the value that this information has to the business. And many times that value can be short-lived, which is where the immediate use and the opportunity-oriented comes in when addressing big data. If you just look at this one slide, it really explains the difference between traditional information or data and big data. And that is, the data is not different, but the tools that we use to manage and analyze it are new and different in some cases, and therefore allow us to make use of this information immediately and take advantage of opportunities before they disappear. The one point that I want to emphasize is we always hear people asking us questions about, we're not doing big data. We need to do big data. What is big data? How can we make it take advantage of big data? What they don't realize is big data is not new. In fact, I would say big data doesn't actually exist. In reality, big data is a marketing hype term. It is, in fact, data. And Gartner has a prediction that says within the next 2 to 3 years, the term big data will cease to differentiate any of the vendors' offerings because they will simply be offering you ways to use information and data that are new and allow you to analyze that data in a way that gives you great business benefit. So it's important to remember that all data doesn't require this approach. With financial consolidation data, or what we call pace layering aspect or view, information of record is information that you've been collecting for years through your financial systems, through your ERP systems, through other systems within the company. And that data is going to be made more valuable by some of the new sources of information, but that data is still important. And the methods and tools that we use today to analyze it are still going to be used in the future, augmented by much of the new data that may come in from customer interactions, process data, like I mentioned, about high-velocity analog devices that are feeding data to a computer environment or to an infrastructure, social media data, which we are just beginning to understand in many industries. in the retail industry, in the manufacturing industry, and in the banking and financial industry, they're making more use of social data than in other industries today. But I think over time, we're going to see how that data integrates with our older is a bad word, our more mature financial systems, and we take the information that allows us to innovate and mix it with the information of record that allows us to get much better benefit from that data, that allows us to get more business value from the data. What's key here is information, data is data. Big data is just a form of data. And looking at the world as, oh, it's new, it's big data, that's what we need to worry about, you cannot lose track of the older information, the way you've been collecting it, the tools that are mature that allow you to analyze it, because we're still going to use those. In fact, many people have made the comment that big data is volume, velocity, or variety. Volume being size, velocity being the speed of ingest of the data, and variety being the structured to unstructured continuum of data. But as you can see, that's in the bottom left under bigness, volume, velocity, variety. There are many other V's that are involved in a data environment that are created by big data in some cases, but we can't lose track of the relevance of the data. Okay, we can't lose track of the benefit of the data. How visible is it? Whether it has value to us or not. And most important, you cannot throw out data governance because we're using some new fancy form of data called big data. We still have to look at data quality and validity. We still have to look at the vulnerability and security around that information or that data. So all of these, and now there are 12 V's, okay, that make up what really is there about data, about big data, and about mature or dark data, which is a term that we have used to describe all the information that you've been collecting for years and not been able to use for decision processes to give value to the business. And so the important piece to remember here is that big data is more than velocity, volume, variety, and must include not only the bigness or size of the data, but the relevance, benefit, and governance of the data for that IT organization. Now, in order to understand better how we're going to be able to use all this information or data together, we need to look at a concept at Gartner called the logical data warehouse. Now, I'm going to present something that we call our integrated capabilities framework. And that framework is what allows us to use all the information of the corporation and be able to access it as we need it, where it is. This is the formation of the logical data warehouse or the logical repository of information. The idea being that in the past, trying to force fit everything into an enterprise data warehouse, one single database or information structure with everything in it that we need in order to make decisions in our organization, is something that just doesn't work. We've proved that over the years because we've tried to build that and have not been able to. What we believe is that you take all the sources of data at the bottom of this slide, and some corporations have all of it, others have only parts of it, and we want to be able to put that data together and use it, okay, for applications, whether those applications be transactional applications, whether they be analytic applications, or whether they're starting to move into some of the new predictive and prescriptive analytics. We need to be able to bring together data from social, documents, audio, mobile, transaction data, and bring it together into the application where we need it. And we'll do this by tying together all these sources of data through a set of common capabilities that tie it together with metadata and allow us to bring that information, just what we need, together to make a decision. The point here is that we don't necessarily want to move the data into still another structure in order to use it. We want to move away from the idea of extract, transform, and load, where we take data and bring it into a database and use it. We want to bring that data together into a server running an application, and we may do that through distributed processing. We may do that through a single database that may contain what I need to do the decision I want right now. And we also may do it with federation, where we actually search out and find the data in two or three sources and bring it together in an application to use it. The key here is speed. The key here is performance, which is going to then give us the capability of making decisions when we need to make them. Predictive analytics doesn't work if we predict something 3 days after it happened. We need to predict what's going to happen before it happens and then be able to take action, which is the prescriptive analytics, that tells us what to do about it. And in order to do that, we need to have a way of bringing together all information that we need to make those decisions at the time and point that we need to make that decision. And we do that through an integrated infrastructure that allows us to tie together the data where it is and not have to move it around first, causing latency, in order to use the data. So that's why we believe that the logical data warehouse is the right way to do this. And that implies that the data stays where it is. And where you run those applications is basically irrelevant and dependent totally on where the users have access to the server, whatever size server, whatever type of server it may be. So let me sum this up with some recommendations. First, you want to prepare for the disruption that is going to be caused by the nexus of forces. Every organization is going to be affected by this intersection of information, mobile, social, and cloud. Some parts of it may have a more drastic effect on your organization. Other parts will have a less drastic effect on your corporation. Things like social may not be so important to certain vertical industries where mobile may be. But the reality is, as those forces come together, it is going to cause disruption in your infrastructure, and it's going to cause disruption in the use cases and the types of applications that your users need and want. Okay. We highly recommend that you begin to research what the logical data warehouse is, what types of effects it's going to have on you, how to bring together the different disparate sources of data that you have in your organization, and begin to do pilot projects on the concept of logical data warehouse instead of continuing to just extract and load data into a central data warehouse. Remember not to jump on big data. When your CIO or CFO or CEO runs in and says, "I've been reading about big data. We must do big data. Why aren't we doing big data?" The answer is we are. We have been for years. We have an enterprise content management system, or we've been using large amounts of high-velocity data that's been coming in from our analog devices that are around the world or around our state or around our country. Okay, and we're using that data. That is big data. We are beginning to look at the new types of tools that allow us to manage and analyze that data in different ways than we could before, but we are doing big data. We are using big data. Don't fall into the trap of saying we have to do everything in a big data form. And finally, most important, remember that big data is data. And that beyond big data, which is volume, velocity, variety, we have other forms of persistence that we have to have, governance that we have to have, and the use or value of the data that we have to understand. It's not just volume, velocity, and variety. And with that, I want to thank you very much, and we will turn it back over to the moderator.
Donald, thank you. Donald Feinberg is a vice president and distinguished analyst at Gartner. And before I bring on Mark Simmons, I want to remind you that we'll be taking your questions at the end. So please continue to get your queries in for either speaker. And now let's welcome Mark Simmons. Mark is IT architect and worldwide marketing manager at IBM. And Mark, I know you're anxious to build on what Donald just said, so we'll let you take it from here.
Now we're going to look at how IBM has been making big data a reality for our clients. Donald discussed some very interesting insights on the growing challenges and opportunities that organizations face while managing the data. I like the expansion to the 12 Vs, and certainly the IBM Information Governance Solutions, which I'll touch on later, address many of those additional Vs. The graphic conveys that information is indeed everywhere, and while it may be federated physically, there are many dependencies between these interconnected islands of data, which have to come together at a logical model level. So the concept of the logical data warehouse to me makes sense, although the overall implementation, of course, is only as strong as the weakest component in the solution. It also conveys how data is constantly being collected, processed, managed, integrated, and analyzed. It never stands still. All three circles are active in parallel. As data is being analyzed, more data is being integrated, more is being collected and stored. Each stage is a trigger or a responder for the other, so it kind of lives and breathes as it perpetually processes data. Leading organizations have learned to leverage the power of all this data coming together using a wide range of technologies, resulting in better business outcomes, such as enriching their information base by exploiting all kinds of data, improving customer interaction by having a deeper insight and relationships with their customers, optimizing operations, preventative approach to security and privacy to help prevent crime. I live in a farming community, and I see lots of farm equipment most of the year round. John Deere has added GPS and RFID and other sensors to their machines and equipment, which are enabling them to monitor and report on many key functions of their operation and overall health. These vehicles literally drive themselves using GPS, giving efficient coverage of the ground, reporting where they are, and what acreage has been covered. It's a huge amount of information that can provide insight into how farmers manage their crops, and they have the potential to optimize the supply chain and cross-sell other products and services. They evaluated several different options on how to capture and store this information and provide the right levels of access necessary. And ultimately, they chose DB2 for ZOS for the scalability and security qualities of the platform. We're talking big volumes of data here. They can now proactively monitor and maintain their equipment around the world, improving overall service and product quality. And I think that the scope and opportunity for introducing and leveraging new business models here is significant. So back to focusing on System Z. I talked about the sheer volumes of data that are stored on the platform. So that aspect alone makes it an ideal platform as part of your big data projects. It contains so much mission-critical data, applications, transactions, because it offers some of the highest availability on the planet. So it's great for business continuity. We have customers that haven't had an outage in over 10 years and can even perform non-disruptive upgrades. It can handle mixed workloads efficiently, makes best use of resources to help meet SLAs. Now think about all this data that needs to be fed into your analytics and decision engines. You need a platform that can handle the unexpected and any on-demand request. The thing just scales. You know, people say, think outside the box. Well, in IBM, we say think inside the box because that's where it all happens. You don't have to have another 20 servers or more staff to manage them. And security is built throughout the stack, from the cryptographic hardware through the operating system into the middleware like databases and web servers and apps that can leverage those capabilities. So the point of all this is you just can't afford to have your applications, data, or processing unavailable. A planned or unplanned outage can cost an organization millions of dollars. Neither can you afford to have a security breach. Oh, you know what? And it's never been hacked. And we have great studies to show the cost effectiveness and security benefits of the platform. So moving on, with all this rich data, we're seeing a trend of Z Enterprise customers moving the data warehouse and hence the business analytics applications closer to this transactional data and consolidating many different data sources. IBM Infosphere Data Warehouse for System Z has long been able to integrate a wide variety of differently structured data. While relational data is the main store of a data warehouse, differently structured data like text, user-defined XML, can be stored and joined to the relational table. Blobs containing pictures, audio, video, and other forms of data can also be stored. So the data warehouse becomes one of the central sources of information for business analytical engines like Cognos, QMS, SPSS. Adding the accelerator appliance helps organizations get the answers they need much, much faster. IBM Business Analytics Solutions enable you to blend a wide variety of different sources and connect them together for a complete view of the business. You have data in physically different locations and often in a variety of data technologies. You've invested in your enterprise data, achieving a high degree of confidence in its accuracy. Our business analytics solutions connect to a broad spectrum of data sources, from real-time streaming sources to Hadoop to relational data to flat files and more. Integration is achieved without any programming and with a consistent set of tools. IT and data scientists want to be able to combine data from a variety of data sources in order to prepare information for people to make decisions. So organizations can go beyond the silo of the data warehouse to find other relevant sources of information. IBM Business Analytics addresses a key skills gap with the big data technologies by eliminating the need to program analytical models. So this approach means that customers can now focus on how to improve the decisions in their organization and not expanding their IT department. We have a huge, impressive set of analytical capabilities, descriptive, prescriptive, predictive capabilities. But there are other technologies that use a MapReduce paradigm that really opens up a whole new type of analytics, which currently run off-platform, using technologies like Hadoop. Fortunately, IBM products like DB2 for ZOS and IMS are open enough to allow interaction and integration with InfoSphere Big Insight using connectors. Both DB2 for ZOS and IMS can invoke queries that run within Big Insights using query languages such as JCL, PIG, Hive, and then integrate those result sets, what we call nuggets of information, back into the data sources on the enterprise. Also, using the Machine Data Accelerator component of Big Insights, it can analyze IMS logs and feed that information back to the Z Enterprise system to better optimize service levels. DB2 for ZOS has become so central to most organizations' data on Z Enterprise, and the data warehouse is based on it. So we have focused on putting yet more performance improvements into the product, improve the autonomic capabilities to reduce costs and management even further, and drive availability to ever higher levels. From an analytics perspective, we've made enhancements to the SQL and the accelerator, as well as temporal enhancements and transparent archiving of data. And guess what? Zero application changes when you migrate version to version. On the next slide, I go into a little bit more on the integration with InfoSphere Big Insights. DB2 11 plans to integrate DB2 for ZOS with Big Insights from the database side and enable applications on DB2 for ZOS to access big data analytics. It includes the ability to submit jobs specified in the JSON query language to Big Insights and to access the Hadoop file system via user-defined functions so you can retrieve the results and integrate them back into the DB2 tables. Now, we listen to customers' requirements and continue to create more integration and transparency between traditional sources of data and the newer kids on the block like Hadoop. There is an early adoption program, so if anyone is interested in joining, just let me know by contacting me. Now, without getting into too much detail, DB211 will provide a table UDF, a user-defined function, and HDFS read to read the big data analytics result from HDFS so that it can be used in an SQL query. Again, we can provide more information on this by request. Now, it's not often I get excited about technology, but when you see something that is truly game-changing, you have to take note. The DB2 Analytics Accelerator for DB2 for ZOS is one of the ways we bring hybrid computing to System Z. It can eliminate the hours and days of query tuning by DBAs while offloading queries to a specifically tuned device for processing. That means it enables organizations to considerably save time and resource. Tell me that accelerating queries by a factor of 2,000 is not game-changing. As an appliance, it can be installed in hours and provide value the same day since there are no application changes required. The device is completely transparent to the user, except for the fact that their work is suddenly done dramatically faster, as you'll see in the next couple of slides. The DBAs don't need to decide whether a query runs locally or on the appliance, because the DB2 for ZOS optimizer code does it all for you. So this is truly one to watch. So what does all this look like when you bring it all together? Well, logically, it looks something like this. You have a relational and your hierarchical structured data and transaction engines like Kix operating as normal, but being put under huge demands. Like Donald said, this data is so important as part of your big data initiatives. And as stated previously, the vast majority of today's analytics rely on this structured data, and it's the reason why many Z Enterprise customers choose to host their data warehouse and analytics on the same platform. What we used to class as dark data is more and more now being integrated as part of your business-as-usual data. Remember in the opening slides where the circle of trust will widen to embrace more of this over time? Technologies like IBM Big Insights and Streams enable organizations to find answers faster and provide insights that help leverage data in new innovative ways. Big data, by its very nature, is enterprise-wide. So when you hear phrases like the IBM Big Data platform, I want you to think of that as a logical platform or a set of capabilities whose components can run on many different physical platforms based on the specific customer needs, like the enterprise data sources, the data warehouse, business analytics solutions, or running on System Z. As promised, let's look at a couple of great customer examples here. Banco do Brasil purchased the largest DB2 analytics accelerator solution, a 120-way system holding 1.28 petabytes of data. Now let's get down to the value here. Queries that were taking half a day to run are now running in less than 30 seconds. That's over 1,500 times faster. Again, tell me that's not game-changing. Banca Carige, one of the major banking establishments in Italy with 1,000 branches, they asked IBM to help design their data warehouse around an architecture based on cost, benefits, future trends, and strategy. The design needed to address increasing future analytical needs coming from each user category, you know, market intelligence, branch offices, top management, and the increasing demand of new applications and data marts based on data in their warehouse. To manage the increasing analytical chaos, the top management of the bank decided to go toward a common base for analytical applications. And IBM proposed a solution based on the IBM DB2 Analytics Accelerator for ZOS, ensuring success by first performing a workload assessment to identify existing and future needs. Lots of advantages, but in summary, the solution brings business-critical answers to thousands of users. It reduces complexity and increases flexibility, and it really enables the integration of business insights into operational processes, which in turn drives effective strategies and building a comprehensive data hub for analytical purposes. You know, you can read more about this online, or you can watch the video on YouTube, and you'll hear the bank's management recommending that organizations embarking on big data initiatives should consider IBM's info management solutions for Z Enterprise. So we're almost done, but we can't leave without mentioning information governance. With big data, you need governance more than ever. As we strive to gain deeper insight into existing and new sources of information, we expose more about individuals, organizations, products, and all other entities relevant to our business and users. Big data, I think, is going to drive new levels of compliance and regulation. Not that that will stop businesses from using the data. The more data we use, the more scope there is for error, the more scope there is for data breaches, and the more scope there is for data not being kept in its optimal state. So to make information governance more consumable and targeted to an organization's more pressing needs, we deliver it through three entry points. The entry points embrace a number of core and supporting disciplines described by the Information Governance Council, which is a customer-led and market-driven community. Governance forms the foundation which underpins the success of many, if not all, of your information management projects. You know, for example, what would be the value of the data in your data warehouse and your business analytics project if it was not of the right quality? If you can't protect your information properly, how will you remain compliant? How can you manage risk if your data is inaccurate? And how can you meet customer service levels and expectations if it's not maintained and kept in the optimal state? So we take a holistic approach to information governance with comprehensive information quality solutions based on products like InfoSphere Information Server, a whole suite of lifecycle management tools, including InfoSphere Optum, to manage everything from performance to information archiving and application retirement, and last but not least, comprehensive information protection from InfoSphere Guardian, providing real-time monitoring and alerting, forensic mining, vulnerability assessments, compliance, workflows, and more. One of the biggest advantages of these solutions that they have in common is that they're truly enterprise-wide, supporting all major computing platforms, database vendors, data sources and, of course, support for Hadoop-type data. So we're coming to the end of our webcast, so let me close and summarize. IBM understands all kinds of data. We provide game-changing innovations such as Watson, the IBM DB2 Analytics Accelerator for ZOS, streaming analytics, Hadoop implementations, expert integrated systems, 20 years of patent leadership, best-of-breed databases like DB2 for ZOS and IMS, business-ready capabilities for big data analytics, integrated and hardened for serious use, with mission and business-critical quality of service unmatched in the industry. We know how to turn data into value, leverage our client expertise, such as deep industry know-how and solutions with global reach. We have a very strong ecosystem, a growing investment with 360-plus business partners and 100-plus universities. We build on current investments and enhance existing analytics and information infrastructure with unparalleled breadth and depth of new capabilities. And we continue to invest in big data analytics processing. IBM Z Enterprise is a platform with some of the highest levels of integrity, quality of service, and governance for your business-critical applications and processes. And we have analytic solution centers around the world visited by some 4,000-plus organizations. So to find out more, I urge you to visit ibm.com/bigdata/Z, where you can find links to analytics on Z Enterprise and information governance solutions for System Z. We have free online education at bigdatauniversity.com. And look out for other upcoming events as well as future webcasts and announcements. And, of course, you can always talk to your IBM representative about how to best get started on your big data strategy. Finally, I want to leave you with this unprecedented offer. If you want to experiment on big data projects but are not sure where to start, IBM Silicon Valley Lab and other labs around the world are willing to partner with you to help define and implement short-term proof of concepts and technologies around big data to get you started. And you get to work with some of the top talent in the IBM lab. There are limited spaces available, so if you're interested, move fast.
Mark, thank you. Mark Simmons is IT architect and worldwide marketing manager at IBM. Now let's bring Gartner analyst Donald Feinberg back into our conversation, as we've been getting plenty of questions for our speakers. So Donald, let me direct this first one to you. Bear with me here. You mentioned the logical data warehouse. It kind of makes sense that not all data will ever be munged together, but be distributed across the enterprise and beyond. Do you see many customers implementing this model today? Do you foresee a new kind of data warehouse emerging that will be self-defining, self-discovering, as it encompasses more data?
Gartner developed the concept of logical data warehouse simply because it does not make sense to put all data into a data warehouse. People have tried for years to create an enterprise data warehouse or single source of all the information needed to make a decision and have never been successful. On the other hand, they call us up and say, what can we do to prevent having to redesign our entire data warehouse every 5 years? That's when we came up with the concept of the logical data warehouse. It has been tried before. Products that either do distributed processing across multiple databases or some type of query that is spread across multiple sources has been tried, but in the past, the technology wasn't really fast enough to enable it. Today, it is. And so we have come up with this concept of the logical data warehouse in order to facilitate the bringing together of multiple disparate sources of data in a logical manner, as opposed to physically trying to fit it into one single database, every different source into one single database. This is really not an issue of big data. It can have something to do with big data, but in reality, it was because of the variety of different types of data. They just simply don't always fit nicely into a single database. Additionally, there are systems like an enterprise content management system that know how to manage documents, in that case, better than a relational data warehouse. And therefore, putting it together in a logical manner makes the most sense. So, and customers are beginning to look at this. They're beginning to adopt it. The problem is that today there isn't much available from the vendors yet that facilitate a logical data warehouse. Some vendors have more pieces of it than others, but what the primary piece that's missing is that centerpiece of metadata for discovery of where all the different types of data or the different pieces of data are that are needed for a decision. We're seeing more and more of that software popping up, as usual, from some startup companies, smaller, innovative-type organizations, and a couple of the larger vendors. What we see is a new type of data warehouse coming up, and I don't know if it will ever be self-defining from a data warehouse standpoint, but certainly self-discovering, because as data is added, the metadata layer will be able to recognize what data is there and how to access it.
Donald, let me stay with you for this next one, too. There has been a lot of hype around cloud for a number of years, and it looks as though that hype or overinflated expectation has calmed down as it matures into more of a reality. How does cloud relate to the world of big data, or whatever you choose to refer to it as?
I would tend to agree that cloud has become less hype over the last year or two, and we're seeing more and more use of cloud-type or cloud-enabled applications. That includes applications, data access, and all forms of using cloud infrastructure. The one place where we haven't seen a large uptake on cloud infrastructure is with data warehousing. In general, we believe it's because of the size of the data warehouses being large and the challenge that you have to do that cost effectively in the cloud, especially when most cloud providers charge not only for storing the data, but for moving the data back and forth to and from the cloud database. And therefore, it starts to become too expensive to start storing 20, 30, or 100 terabytes of data in the cloud and access them for a data warehouse when you're talking about the desire of most organizations to make business intelligence, business analytics, and data warehousing pervasive to all the people in the organization, not just the people that are currently using it. This would create huge charges that are just not reasonable compared to an on-premise type environment. And for that reason, we believe we've not seen data warehousing catching on in the cloud. I think over time, as cloud infrastructure maybe comes down a bit in cost, and as the access to it through the internet becomes less costly and higher speed, that we'll start to see more data warehouses beginning to be implemented in the cloud. But I think that's still going to be relegated towards the fairly small end, meaning less than 1 or 2 terabytes of data in the data warehouse. As the size grows, I believe it's going to be more on-premise and less in the cloud.
Mark, let's go to you for this next one. You mentioned the IBM DB2 Analytics Accelerator for ZOS. Can you go into a bit more detail on how it works, whether the DBA needs to decide whether it processes locally or whether it is given to the accelerator?
Great question. In fact, the answer is very simple. The IBM DB2 Analytics Accelerator for ZOS is, in essence, a deep integration of DB2 for ZOS and IBM's Netezza Data Analytics Server. Here's how it works. A user or application directs a report-generating or decision support query to a DB2 for ZOS system. DB2 then does what it always does. It optimizes the query. This optimization capability has been in DB2 for ZOS since something like version 8. But, and this is the really cool part, the optimizer has, in the form of the accelerator, a new access path that it can select. So if the accelerator is added to an existing DB2 system, the extended optimizer functionality is added by way of a DB2 PDF. Here's the deal. Some or all of the tables in the DB2 managed data warehouse are copied over to the accelerator. And if a query targets one or more of those tables, the DB2 optimizer can analyze the query and send it to the accelerator for processing. If it determines that this would be the best performing option for result set generation, otherwise DB2 will accelerate the query locally. The accelerator is then attached to the DB2 for ZOS system via something like a 10 gigabit Ethernet connection.
Donald, Gartner initially described three dimensions to big data, namely volume, velocity, and variety, and has now expanded beyond that. These computing challenges have been around for many years. Why is there so much focus around this right now? And what do you believe was the trigger that made this one of today's hottest topics?
Actually, I believe there are two triggers that have created this big push towards big data, extreme information, whatever words you want to use, that incorporate volume, velocity, and variety. The first trigger has been an increase in new sources of information that typically have some velocity, but are much more along the lines of variety and volume. I'm talking here about social data. I'm talking here about operational technology where we have devices that are sending streams of information in to computers, and the ability to want to analyze and use this large volume of data that is largely unstructured, largely in text form or free form. You're talking email, you're talking social data, you're talking any of that type of information that is large volume and very much complex variety. That's one of the triggers. The other trigger has been that we didn't know how to manage this data before. Even if we did have huge amounts of this data, it became not cost-effective to manage it in a regular database, and so we put it out in other forms, even in some cases filing cabinets for hard copy, and it wasn't digital, or we didn't have the tools to manage it. Over the past few years, we've seen an increase in tools that do text search, that do text analytics, and, of course, we've seen the advent of Hadoop processing systems for MapReduce, which allow us to at least analyze and use large amounts of data, especially when it's unstructured. And so I think it's a combination of new data types that are available combined with dark data, which is data that has existed in corporations, but we did not know how to use it or manage it, along with new tools that allow us to manage and analyze all of this data in a very innovative form.
And Donald, staying with you, Hadoop is a big buzzword right now. From discussions with your clients, will everyone have a Hadoop system at some point, just like most organizations have a database? Will it become more niche or just be embedded within existing technologies moving forward?
That's a very interesting question. Hadoop came out of the academic world, where MapReduce has been around for years as a statistical primitive and then turned into a programming system originally used, in fact, by Google, and then to an Apache open source project, which is the Apache open source Hadoop project. It is our belief that this is here to stay. Now, whether it becomes a standalone product that everybody has, or some combination of that with merging or embedded into existing technologies, that remains to be seen. We are pretty convinced that it will not be niche, and that, in fact, every organization will have it, and will use it for the colder data that is not used often, that is highly unstructured, and usually high volume, although it doesn't have to be high volume to be in Hadoop, it normally is. And because Hadoop is a lower cost point for storing this data that requires us not to have very large investments in hardware and storage to do it, it's going to catch on even faster than it is today. The one big pushback for Hadoop systems today has been the level of technical competency and knowledge necessary to program in MapReduce. And today we're beginning to see more and more SQL-enabled systems that allow you to use SQL to access the data in a Hadoop environment. As that becomes more mature, it opens up Hadoop to the huge number, which is by far the majority of application developers in the world, that understand and use SQL on a daily basis. So because of that, we believe, because of the cost and because of the pervasive use that will be available in the future with SQL-based MapReduce, that you will start to see this being used pervasively in organizations. It's our belief that much of it will be embedded in existing technologies moving forward, as those technologies have always shown that they can be flexible enough to adopt and adapt to some of these new technologies.
Donald, huge quantities of differently structured data, such as emails, telemetry, documents, social media, graphics, video, and so on, make up the vast majority of the world's data. What needs to happen to make the processing of this data more mainstream and consumable as part of our business analytics and decision-making? What should we be expecting from vendors in this area?
Interestingly, we have said for years that unstructured, or as you called it in the question, differently structured data, makes up better than 80% of all the data in the world, and that the structured data is somewhat less than 20% of what's really available. And we've just spent the last 60 years addressing the structured information and very, very little the unstructured information. What needs to happen to become more mainstream is that these new tools to manage and use or analyze this large amount of unstructured data must become pervasively used throughout organizations. In order for this to happen, it must be less complex to use them. That's one of the reasons why some of the new tools that are coming up in the way of text analytics, in the way of analytics that are built into a number of the business intelligence tools and the analytics tools that are available today, and the addition of Hadoop, specifically Hadoop being accessed with SQL interface, is going to allow it to be more pervasively used throughout the entire organization and through the decision-making process. One of the interesting things that is beginning to happen today is that we're seeing it more embedded into the analytics process. And although it may be from a standpoint of finding the information we need and loading it into a standard DBMS, or whether it be accessing it where it is, this is one of the reasons the logical data warehouse starts to make sense, because we can leave it where it belongs in maybe a Hadoop system or a text system or something like that, and use it together with the structured information that's in our corporate financial data warehouse, structured data warehouse, whatever words you want to use, and bring it together for the processing, for the analytics, and for the decision making. The vendors themselves are all looking at ways to not only embed these new tools into their tool set, whether it be at the business intelligence level, at the data integration level, or at the DBMS, the database management system level. And we're seeing more and more of that as the vendors are finding ways to do that and integrate these pieces together.
Mark, let me turn back to you. What do you see as the challenges for governing all of this data?
Yeah, there's clearly a list of technical challenges on how you govern all your data. And we do have solutions that are enterprise-wide regardless of platform, database vendor, data sources like the Infosphere Optum and the Guardian products I mentioned, and the host of IMS and DB2 for ZOS tools. There are also organizational challenges, you know, like who is responsible for the data, how is it used, where is it used, how is it interpreted, what levels of security are there, what retention policies should be applied, you know, can you trust the quality of information, how do you ensure that SLAs are met? However, I predict as organizations strive to reach toward what I refer as total information awareness, that there will be a huge increase in regulatory and compliance mandates. Data that may be judged as public domain and used by businesses may cause landmark legal cases, as once information is used for purposes other than which it was originally collected, you kind of get into very complex areas of legality. So there will be an increased need for more governance, even though I don't think it's going to stop companies from using the data if they see enough value in it.
Mark, thank you. And we'll have to let that be the last word, as unfortunately we're out of time. I know he had more questions than we could get to, but if you did not hear your question addressed, don't worry. Someone will follow up with you in the near future. A quick program note. Gartner is an impartial, independent analyst of the information technology industry. All content provided by other enterprises is expressly the views of those enterprises and the speakers. The information should not be construed as a Gartner endorsement of said enterprises, products, or services. And with that, we'd like to again thank Gartner Vice President and Distinguished Analyst Donald Feinberg and IBM IT Architect and Worldwide Marketing Manager Mark Simmons. And we especially want to thank you, our audience, for your time and interest. To learn more about how to bid the right big data solution for your organization, go to www.ibm.com. Thank you.